You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio.
Now starting at quarterback, Nicolas Cage.
It's time to go camping at Nitschke Field.
And Bakhtiari's knee casts doubt for 2022.
And we start talking about the 2022 season.
Four quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. It's time for some big news here on Cheesehead Radio, now in our 13th season doing this crazy thing. As usual, our esteemed hosts tonight are C. D'Angeli of Packers Talk, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter. Kelly Hodgson is not with us tonight. She is somewhere up in the Netherlands of Michigan, I believe. But she should be back with us next week. And your other host tonight is little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. From the good news department, our longtime friends at Ticket King are back as official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all the Packers Talk podcasts. And that means there's something good in it for you. They have a special deal just for our Packers Talk listeners. You can get 10% off their already low prices by using the code PT10, as in Packer Talk 10, PT10, when you order your tickets. Just visit their website at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. It's a limited time offer, so do not hesitate. If you're thinking about looking for tickets for a game, check them out and save some money. Well, that's it for the preliminaries. Let's get the show on the road.
To be fair, I just came out from the nether hinterland regions of northern Wisconsin last week, and I can tell you that there's absolutely no cell phone signals up there right now. So
hinterlands was the word I was looking for, I guess. not Netherlands.
Technically, that's in Titletown. You know, yeah. But we're
I know.
Just quite a bit north of that.
But there's something with nether and nither that kind of goes with that. Maybe not Netherlands, but
she's in the nether regions, I'm sure. So.
Something like that, yeah. In any case.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cheesehead Radio. We are so excited to be back with you. The 2022 season. We keep saying every season, oh, this is it. This is the last chapter in the Book of Rogers. This is our last chance at a ring. Well, it's about our third or fourth season in a row saying that. But here we are.
Again.
The best season ever. This is it. Now or never. We're just excited. It's all starting. All starts today with training camp getting started. So, Jersey, yeah, let's get into it with the first quarter. And of all things to talk about in this here first quarter, let's just talk about this elephant in the room. Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
He shows up at camp. Before we even get into his outfit, I got into a conversation with one of my friends on Twitter yesterday, and she is not a Packers fan. You know, she's an NFL fan. You know, she's from Michigan, and she just kind of says, "What in the world is going on with this guy? My gosh, bring back Brett Favre, et cetera, et cetera."
Oh boy!
And I had to kind of explain. I said, "You know, those amongst us who are Aaron Rodgers proponents, defenders, etc. We all acknowledge this guy is kind of marching to a very different beat in general. And yesterday showing up for practice definitely lived up to the name of marching to the beat of his own drummer.
Did you know the reference? Did you know what that was all about when you saw the video?
I didn't either.
I mean, I'm not a huge, as Matt LaFleur said today in his prep conference, I'm not a big movie guy. Well, that's me too. I'm not a big movie guy either. I had no idea what it was. I thought it was weird. I thought it was pretentious. And then it was explained to me that what he was doing, and they showed the video of Cameron Poe, I guess it is, and Con Air and him. And then I got it at least, but I still thought it was really kind of weird.
So is this the plan, that he's going to take a scene out of one of his favorite movies every day as he goes to practice? Because I can't wait for The Princess Bride. I know that's one of his favorite movies.
And who do you think he will be in The Princess Bride?
Oh, I hope it's the Six-Fingered Man. And then David Bakhtiar can come behind him as Fezzik. That would be great. That'd be perfect. So
that would be interesting. A different character every day.
Yeah.
I'd be on really board would. With that. I'd be on board with that.
I would too. So, you know, Aaron Rodgers still just finds a way to dominate. You know, we're not quite at that whole Favre gate level of things as Favre was maybe in, you know, the early 2000s, where everything was all about Favre all the time. But he does dominate the talk when any of the prognosticators talk about the Packers. And then he does something like this that just says, okay, this guy's not really trying to keep a low profile at all anymore, is he?
No. He's enjoying it. And I think part of it has to do with he's kind of made a bunch of Hollywood friends, right, mm-hmm. in the last couple of years, you know, actors and actresses and whatnot. And I think he's getting ideas or encouragement from his Hollywood buddies here, mm-hmm. you know, to play it up a little bit. So I don't know. It's just my personal theory.
Well, you know, he
'cause can you imagine him doing this 5 years ago?
He does have, you know, his relationships, you know, not that I'm ever going to bring that into a, you know, to talk about that or to, you know, denigrate him or who he's dating. But he has progressively gone from, you know, an athlete, quote unquote, and Danica to, you know, more and more quirky actresses, definitely Hollywood actresses. So, yeah, I mean, you can kind mm-hmm. of see that over the last 5 years. It's right. Yeah, he definitely doesn't mind that spotlight on him anymore. So very interesting. But I mean, great way to kick off camp. I mean, if you know, you're going to make
it
some
was
moves,
fun.
May as well,
yeah.
May as well be that. So. All right, that'll take us to the end of the first quarter. We just had to get that out of the way.
Couldn't let that one go. We just could not let that one go.
Second quarter, though, Jersey Al.
Yes.
Training camp.
Let's get
is
to meat
here.
And potatoes.
Let's
come
do
on.
Do it. Oh, my gosh. Green Bay Packers, Nitschke Field, people lining the stands, you know, going on Twitter, and oh, my gosh, you can sit there during the day and, you know, 14 different people all post on the exact same play within about 20 seconds of each other. It's you know, it's just that great feeling of like, it's like I'm there having 20 people talk to me at once and repeating the same thing. What were your thoughts on that, Jersey?
Well, yeah, that's, I mean, some of us, not all of us have the ability to follow along like that. Probably many of us have jobs where we can't do things like that.
Well, what are you trying to say? Wait a minute.
I'm fortunate enough, working from home, self-employed, that I can let myself be distracted by some of those things and follow along. So that's what I did today. Now, it's not something I'll do every day, but this was the first day, you know, getting out of those summer doldrums of no Packers news. I just had to engage, and boy, was I engaged, let me tell you. So as far as what was going on, this was a day for the offense, you know. Everything was about the offense, and specifically the much maligned wide receiver group.
Mm-hmm.
Every other tweet was, Lazard pulls out an amazing catch over the defender. Romeo Dobbs goes deep and makes an amazing catch. This guy does, that guy does. It was just nonstop. And like, I had to keep telling myself, all right, they're running around in shorts. Just remember, they're running around in shorts. There's no real defense going on. So temper my enthusiasm. But it was still fun. It was still fun.
And amongst that group, you did not have Sammy Watkins or Christian Watson playing due to some
you
nagging
certainly
injuries.
Did not. Right. Yes. Although so, the brass all claim that neither one are serious and then they'll be back soon, blah, blah, blah. So we'll hopefully that is true.
Yeah. And it's interesting that I think Rodgers kind of made the comment. He said, well, the offense is 1-0 today, really kind of, you know, throwing it at the defense a little bit, which is interesting
right.
because coming out of the draft and looking at how we're assembling these teams, there's a feel that we're not only returning pretty much all the starters from last year on defense, we've upgraded, you know,
Quay
Walker.
Yep.
You're Jaron getting back.
Reed,
exactly.
Wyatt.
You know, your defensive secondary looks to be about the best, you know, five deep one we've had in years. Our linebacker crew is probably the best we've had in 20 years. Our front three is looking great. So we're thinking, man, the strength of this team's gonna be defense day one of training camp. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers was doing, you know, going fully Nick Cage on the defense today.
Training camp in shorts, you know, you can't tackle anybody, right? So the defense is definitely at a disadvantage there. But it was funny, you know, what you mentioned with Rodgers was giving the defense a hard time with saying, oh, offense 1-0. He mentioned before that usually the defense is ahead of the offense in training camp. So he was like stoked that he basically had a good day with the offense and fine. Okay, be happy.
And speaking of one of the players I just mentioned, Quay Walker, who has really become kind of the favorite from this year's draft and a guy we're penciling in as an immediate starter, was an immediate starter today, playing with the ones on defense, and was looking at some great, you know, that speed and power that we've come to expect. Definitely saw it today on the field.
Yeah, there was one play they said where he basically caught Aaron Jones from behind on an end around or on a wide play, and they was like, he went from the other side of the field to the sideline to, you know, quote unquote, tackle Aaron Jones in no time. And that really left some people with their, you know, mouths agape saying, oh my goodness, we haven't seen this in Green Bay in, like you said, probably 20 years.
And interestingly enough, Quay Walker apparently was getting some opportunities to call the plays.
Yes. Yeah.
Like the guy wearing the dot on his helmet and making the calls, which means he's the guy you want on the field.
Yeah, I can. Right, exactly. And I think that's what they envision. The fact that he has so much athleticism, he can cover people, that when they go with just a single linebacker, there's a good chance he's going to be that single linebacker, right? So they're looking at him as possibly calling a play. So that all kind of makes sense. Oh, and the other thing he saw, evidently he saw some work on punt protection beam.
Wow. So is that needed?
Yeah, possibly. You know, we might be able to use a few people that actually can block somebody and then get run downfield and cover, you know, unlike what happened in that game we will not mention at the end of last season. So that was interesting also.
Good. You know, just some other cool things, you know, Elgton Jenkins, we're getting some good news on him that maybe he might be returning sooner than later. He's, you know, definitely doing pretty well in terms of his recovery. We lost a lot of players, if you remember, to these ACL injuries last year. And is that the difference between maybe why we didn't get past game one in the playoffs? Who knows?
Well, missing basically your two best offensive linemen is certainly going to be a detriment to your offense. And the offense certainly was a big reason why the Packers did not advance. But you mentioned Elgton Jenkins. There was videotape of him doing some drills and moving very nicely. What I noted was that they were actually offensive tackle drills. They were like the slide step drills that tackles do in pass protection. You know, interior linemen don't pass protect like that. They're not out on the edge. So I think that might be a little indication of where they think, you know, there's been big debate. Is Jenkins going to be the right tackle whenever he comes back? And I think you might be able to glean a little, a few clues from that. Silly little thing, but it might be telling you something.
Well, yeah, and one day of practice, obviously.
Just one day, right.
Just one day, but it's definitely something to watch as we go through practice.
And everybody talking about the offensive line, the starting offensive line in practice, and the some big surprises were at right guard Jake Hansen and right tackle Royce Newman, who was last year's right guard. But of course, you know, to me the bigger surprise is Jake Hansen being the number one there. But of course, if we all remember that last year early in camp, Ben Braden was starting with the ones and he ended up not even making the team. So don't know how much we can take out of that.
And they did mention that both Hansen and Newman did not rotate in OTAs. They stayed rotating in there. So maybe the OTAs, when they rotated all these guys, they said, you know what, we're just going to keep these guys here because they're going to do the least amount of damage here.
Let's take a look at this a little closer. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway. Great first day. I think there's a lot of excitement. You know, you're watching the tweets online. I'm hoping maybe to get down there, maybe tomorrow or Thursday and just spend some time in the sun, hopefully, and watch some Packers play ball. It's just exciting to get the season going and underway. Any other big things from training camp today?
Oh, one huge thing.
What's that? Huge thing.
Coach LaFleur, the people's coach, got on a kid's bike today. I don't think any other coach, certainly not any head coach, has ever done that I know of. Do you know of?
I'm pretty sure the last three coaches we had would have probably broken the bike.
Exactly. That's one reason why.
Certainly didn't have the athleticism.
There may have been some others, like Ray Rhodes, you know, who knows? I mean,
probably not. Haven't done that. But yeah, no, Matt LaFleur just really continues to endear himself, I think, to fans.
He's a different animal. Absolutely.
He is. Yeah. And he pulls it off in a way that, you know, obviously, as many of my lady friends tell me, he's strikingly handsome, so that doesn't hurt.
Those eyebrows. Yes. CD, those eyebrows, apparently. My goodness.
But
they're so disconcerting, I can't look at them.
But he's so, the way he just talks, he just puts things off so well. He's not arrogant. He doesn't come off as being overly emotional, you know, like a Romeo Crennel.
Much smarter than you as well. Exactly. He doesn't do that either, you know.
Exactly.
Like, so, you don't know anything. I'm the head coach. I'm a highly successful head coach. And you basically know nothing.
It's pad levels. We'll fix the pad levels. We'll get it fixed up.
He doesn't give you that garbage. Doesn't give you that.
No, and he takes respectful. He takes accountability and he's humble. And so then he jumps on a bike and, you know, We celebrate. We clap our hands. We're like, you know, if that was Mike McCarthy doing that, it would just be a series of, you know, one-liners from every podcast in the Packers Twittersphere. So.
And a destroyed bike.
Yes. and then he'd blame the bike for it. So.
Bike wasn't up to snuff.
Absolutely.
Needed more reps. You need to have more reps on those tires.
Jordan Love, by the
Jordan Love. What about him?
Had some nice mentions, had a couple nice passes, completion at the end. Are you a little surprised he's here?
No.
Surprised he's in camp?
No.
No?
I'm not. I never really thought that they would try to trade him. They're going to keep him as their backup. He's the guy they drafted. They put a couple of years into developing him. He knows the system. He's their best backup that they can have, someone that knows the system and someone with possibly a future. So I was not in the Jordan Love should be or will be traded camp. Mm-hmm. Perhaps you were.
I certainly was not either.
Okay.
But I just know how, I guess, the Packer Twitterati has been. And you just kind of felt like maybe that was coming, but I'm glad it hasn't. He's a decent young man, and I hope he does. I hope he does a lot. I hope he does take the baton someday and. There's absolutely no break in our Hall of Fame quarterback streak that we have going on.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm. And that will be the end of the second quarter here on Cheesehead Radio. This will take us to halftime. Al and I are going to go into the locker room. We're going to get some Gatorade. And while we're there, hope you all enjoy this message from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's TheTicketKing.com.
All right, welcome back. There's the whistle. It's time to kick off for the second half. We're going to move into the third quarter. Probably the biggest conversation point of the day is David Bakhtiari. And obviously with David Bakhtiari, we knew he had the ACL last year. We were doing a little hand wringing at the end of last year.
Just a little,
you know, not that we thought he was going to be injured forever that he played, but he may not get back to being the David Bakhtiari of old. I think was maybe my concern. But obviously now Bakhtiari has had a little bit of a setback.
Yeah. Evidently, he had another procedure this offseason, which everybody was speculating about as to why maybe he was still in the rehab group when they were doing OTAs, and that did come to pass. After the practice today, he was in the locker room and he was talking to the media and answering questions. And according to David, he says he likes very much where he's at. His concern, he was asked specifically if he was concerned. He said his concern level is low. And then he went on to expand on that it's not about the ACL anymore, that the ACL is perfectly fine and taken care of. It's other little things. But he says his knee is much better shape than it was last year. So he certainly put on a positive front. Whether it was a front or whether it was the truth, we'll find out in a couple of weeks probably to see where he is. But that's what David is saying.
And with the number of times that they repeated it, it makes you wonder a little bit if they're saying it enough times to convince themselves. But of course, that's the number one question, because there's a lot of concern. Bakhtiari is obviously the guy that we feel between him and Jenkins. Had those two been on the line, maybe, you know, in that playoff game last year, things would have gone differently. Maybe things would have gone differently the whole season. The Packers, let's be honest, they do a great job taking in guys, shuffling in guys, and making an offensive line work during the regular season. But we all know things change when you hit the playoffs and everything escalates up a level. And, you know, that's where the talent level really shows. If you're missing two guys who are legitimately superstars who are not in the game trying to play against a decent team. Bakhtiari, you know, whatever it is, this could have been some other ligament damage, you know, LCL, MCL, whatever. He's on the PUP list. Is that correct?
Yes.
So how long is he out?
I think you can be on it for 4 weeks, something like that.
Right.
But then they can designate you for the season PUP list.
Right.
And then there's also injured reserve as well. And, you know, but let's not go there yet. Because they changed the injured reserve rules this year, right? You can't just bring back a bunch of people. I think they went back to limiting it or increasing the amount of time they had to stay. I'm not sure of the specifics, but it's not the super relaxed COVID injured reserve rules anymore.
Little harsher now.
Yeah.
Well, the David Bakhtiari worries has impacted Aaron Rodgers' standing in Vegas, in which I don't know how usual or unusual this is. I don't follow betting lines probably as closely as you do or many of our listeners, but his passing yardage over under has now dropped three times. They've actually changed that, you know, that mark. Started out at 4,120.5 passing yards on the season over under. It's now been reduced to 39.50.5.
29.
Is it 20? It's not 29, is it?
That's what you have.
It's 39.
Okay.
Yeah, 39. But which doesn't seem like a tremendous change, but it does mean that as bets are placed, eventually Vegas is going to adjust those numbers, because in the end, you know who's going to win every time is Vegas. They're going to make sure they keep 50% of the money.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that was it.
Okay. You know what else that means?
What's that?
The particular number being that high, 4,039.50, that Vegas has confidence in the Packers wide receiver group, that they're not as worried as us crazy Packers fans.
It could be, but also Vegas set that first number at 4,100.
But that's not a big drop, you know?
No, not yet.
It's 170 yards over the course of a season. That's not a big drop.
No.
I'm more surprised that it was that high to begin with.
Maybe that's what I'm saying is maybe Vegas was saying they believed in it, but maybe those of us making bets on Aaron Rodgers don't believe in that wide receiver group as much.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, our hope certainly is David Bakhtiari does bounce back from this. We hope we get some more information, and hopefully we'll have Kelly back next week, who will pontificate deeply on every possible ligament and tendon imaginable.
Yes, get your textbooks out. Get your biology 101 textbooks out. We will be covering it.
She'll have it all set for you. So hopefully that happens. That'll end the third quarter. We're going to move on to our fourth quarter, and that'll be just a little bit of a poopery here. We'll just kind of look ahead to a couple things. Couple things that are really sticking out to me. I can't wait to get down. I'm actually going to be making a couple visits to Lambeau Field in the next week, and apparently there's some London game merchandise for sale.
Yeah, I've seen a few pictures.
That I'm kind of excited to go out and explore, and probably have to drop $160 for a t-shirt. But it's worth it. So that's exciting. It's exciting. This whole London game. I'm wondering if Ticket King's going to have, some London packages for us. Excellent.
They have. I don't know about tour packages, but they have tickets available.
They have tickets, huh?
Just for fun. I was looking today just to see if they had any, and they do.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So tickets are available through Ticket King. And you can save 10% if you use the code PT10.
PT10.
Right.
10% off. Some really good news that came out today, and something that's very, very near and dear to my heart. And of course, we know Leroy Butler was finally elected into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We had extensive talks about that during the season. I think at one point I did some huge statistical analysis looking at Hall of Fame monitor stats and figured out that he was literally the only player that, was sitting there with that many players below him who were in the Hall of Fame. He was the biggest, controversy of him not being there. Two Packers, technically three, have made it, but two players in Sterling Sharp and Cesar Isabel have made the finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And you can probably guess which of those two is the most near and dear to my heart.
Well, obviously Cecil, based on your age. But...
yeah. Oh, terrible. but Sterling Sharp was just he really was. I really, really looked up to this guy. I actually just wrote it on Twitter not too long ago. I said, this will be to my dying days. I will be scanning Sterling Sharp to get into the Hall of Fame. It's a tough road for him, though. What do you think his chances are?
There's been kind of like a groundswell of recognition, I think, over the last year or two years of basically the type of numbers he put up in those three or four straight years. They're numbers that nobody's pretty much put up in that period of time. And there are other players who have had very short careers that are in the Hall of Fame, so that shouldn't be a reason to keep him out. Now, me personally, I've always said, and this goes back probably 15, 20 years, I've always said, I thought that if he had had a full career when he was said and done, we'd be talking about him as like a top five receiver all time.
Oh, agreed. Absolutely agreed.
Hudson, Rice, Sharp, and then pick your other two, whoever you want.
Well, not Randy Moss, but...
yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
That final two can be subjective, but those three, to me, would have been definitely in the top five.
Right. Sterling Sharp was, to me, a man among boys. And I think sometimes you see Devontae Adams, you saw him hit that level to where he just could do whatever he wanted on the field as a receiver. And Sterling Sharp was doing that a long time ago. He's a shorter guy. I think he's only about 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah, he's not a tall receiver.
Not a tall receiver. Big, but he was a big, big guy. I mean, he looked like a linebacker if you saw him on the street, which I literally didn't, thought he was a linebacker. But he, the catches that he made and the fact that he had that from Mikowski to Tom Zach and all of the crew that, were just very mediocre quarterbacks between Mikowski and Favre. And then Favre in his very, very, young, undisciplined years, this guy never stopped producing. And to me, I think that's the biggest testament to him, is that he didn't need a Hall of Fame quarterback like Jerry Rice always had. He did it with
right.
a guy like Don Mikowski, who's never going to make the Hall of Fame. He did it with a bunch of guys that are never going to make the Hall of Fame. He did it with Brett Favre before he was even close to making the Hall of Fame. So, I'm really hoping he makes it. Mike Holmgren also makes it, I think, among the coaching Yep. The coaching branch. So Holmgren also in there. That was one, too, I've been wondering for a while, too, why he wasn't getting a lot of attention for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Holmgren, you would think success at multiple places, not just with the Packers, but, you know, responsible for bringing championship back to Green Bay.
Yeah, absolutely. The Packers' schedule to start the season is going to be an interesting one. And I think if you were looking at an offensive line that is not totally in place, you've got the Vikings and the Bears to start the season this year. In fact, at the Vikings, home against the Bears, then down to Tom Brady and the Bucks. The Packers could find themselves potentially 1-2 to start the season.
Oh, Mr. Negativity there.
I said possibly.
Who are they going to lose to?
Well,
the Vikings?
The Vikings can be tough at home. They'll be charged up that first game.
I refuse to believe this.
Well, I refuse to believe it too. But if that offensive line is not up to snuff, you can't make heroic plays when you're throwing from your throwing on the ground. But I think that there is a tough start to the season. I think it gets a little easier later on, but hopefully the Packers are going to be able to get this line together and make it happen. I know that's something Colin Coward was, not that I pay much attention to him, but that was one of his fairly intelligent observations, that the Packers have to be able to pick it up against the good teams. And right. I would agree with that. So last thing, just to talk about, we mentioned it before. How are you feeling about the wide receiver room right now? Jersey Al.
Well, after the fantastic day that they had today in shorts, I think that we're going to have three all pros at the position. Okay, so no, obviously not. But I do think that they will be a good unit. I think, you know, it's going to be the sum of the parts type of deal, you know.
Right.
And it's going to have to be like that. And Rodgers isn't going to be able to play favorites, which is going to be the best thing about it. You know, if you want to look for one real positive about Adams being gone, is that, okay, we might not end up going home in the playoffs because Rodgers decided he had to force the ball to Adams when other people were wide open. Now, that's a very cynical comment there and outlook, but tell me I'm wrong.
I don't know. We've never seen it before.
So anyway, I think we'll be okay. You know, it may not set the world on fire, but maybe he'll buy into handing the ball off a little bit more to our fine running back duo and let them carry some of the load and win a championship without having to be the guy that does it all. Wouldn't that be something?
That'd be fantastic.
Yep.
The one thing that I think bothered me that I keep seeing in the press, and I don't know if it's coming from the Packers, the Packer media, or just from the national media, but they keep referring to Alan Lazard as the wide receiver one. And
yes,
it concerns me a little bit because I like what you just said. I like the idea that you have this stable of wide receivers that are just going to go do what they need to do. And Alan Lazard is an incredibly valuable wide receiver, but he's really a jackknife. You know what I mean? I mean, he's got a bag of tricks, but he does so much with blocking downfield and working mm-hmm. guys open and, you know, doing the things that need to be done to help others be successful.
Yep.
It just reminds me a little bit of Kabir Gabaja Biamila, if you remember him.
Sure.
He had a Pro Bowl season when they brought him in essentially as a third down pass rusher. He had great, great success because he was a change of pace. He was in on obvious passing downs, got a ton of sacks. Then they made him a full-time player, and his effectiveness went down because he was being expected to do things that his body wasn't able to do. He wasn't able to generate a lot of power in the in a power run game. So he became less effective. And so that's why I'm kind of hoping we're not saying, oh, we got to make Alan Lazard the number one receiver and he's got to try to do everything Devontae did. I hope that doesn't happen because I think when you see these players, you can see the roles coming into play. Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb, Amari Rodgers, none of them are superstars on their own, but Aaron Rodgers can make them a fantastic group if they just play their parts correctly.
Totally agree.
All right. That'll bring us to the end of the fourth quarter. We have a little overtime right here.
Overtime. We're starting now with overtime, the first show of the season. Wow. You're bringing it.
Devontae Adams.
Who?
Yeah, now a Las Vegas Raider. He's definitely excited to be out there, right? He's definitely excited. He's kind of with his hometown team.
His buddy,
David Carr. But he sometimes gets a little excited, so excited about it that obviously as he keeps getting questioned about how terrible is it to go from Aaron Rodgers to Carr, essentially he came out and actually doubled down on it and said he's basically gone from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another.
Right. And how silly is that?
There's this little thing like, is he trying to Greg Jennings this here a little bit? You know,
I don't think Adams is Greg Jennings.
You know? I am hoping,
but that's some ball of I don't know what you want to call it. He's trying to pass here.
So, of all people to give a reply, who decided to send a little shot back over the bow today?
Well, somebody was ready. Somebody had this, right? Obviously, he had this prepared, right? Aaron Rodgers was just waiting for the first question about Alan Lazard, you know, and having Alan Lazard back and with Devontae gone. And sure enough, first words out of his mouth. Yeah, I mean, it's always tough going from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer. Pow! Boom! Gets a nice round of chuckles from the media and then answers the rest of the question. But he had that, you know, queued up and just ready to go.
Yeah, I think this is going to be the year of Aaron Rodgers. Just really, I mean, we've seen it for the past couple of years, but, you know, he's definitely here to entertain us. And I think he's not take any F's from, he's not going to take any F's from anyone. And he's, it's great. Yeah. it was great. And you know that Rodgers and Adams, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's all in fun. Real friendly rivalry. And I said, that just makes it fun to watch again.
Agreed.
All right. I think that's going to take us to the end here, my friend.
All right. Do you want to do the outro?
Nothing. I hope I can read it all. Let's see. Thank you for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio. Make sure to head on over to PackersTalk.com where you can listen to a few other unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at Packers Talk Net on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcasts. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave a review. You can also find us with Siri, Alexa, or Google. Just go up and say, play Packers Talk Podcast, and we'll start talking right back to you. That's a wrap. Go Pack Go.
Show one in the books. Go Pack Go.
All right. See you next week, everybody.
Good night, all.